Nehemiah chapter number 2, and we'll just begin reading at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been beforehand, before time, sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but the sorrow of heart, and this then I was very sore afraid." Now we've preached about that. And Nehemiah is afraid, being in the presence of the king, and the king has noticed that his countenance is sad, and so he's a little bit worried about this. Now, "And said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make a request? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant hath found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah and to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto me, the queen also sitting with him, For how long shall the journey be, and when wilt thou return? And so it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let the letters be given to me for to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah. And the letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Praise God. I'm going to just preach to us here for a little while, not very long. I don't feel like I can, but I'm going to preach to us here tonight about focus. Focus. Praise God. It is imperative, number one, that we have a vision. Amen. And we must focus on that. We need a plan, and we got to look at the plan, and then we got to focus on the plan. And so we're just going to talk about that here for a while today. God of heaven, you are so good to us.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we're here today, Lord God, with our minds set upon you today. Believing you, knowing that you are able, God, to do anything, Jesus. I'm praying, God, that you would help us to see even as you see. God, let a vision be given unto us, Lord, that we would focus upon it, God. And we'll be quick to bless you and to praise you in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Would you put your hands together and just magnify him? Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you, and you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. There is an old saying that I have heard several times growing up through the years, and no doubt you have heard it, and no doubt you may have been told this little phrase, and no doubt you've probably told somebody else. Whether it was you or whether you were telling somebody, you've heard the phrase, amen, that sometimes we're just flying by the seat of our pants. Amen. Flying by the seat. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. Or you look at somebody in an accusatory way. You just say, you know what? You're doing nothing but flying by the seat of your pants right now, aren't you? Amen. And for the most part, a lot of us would have to say, yeah, that's exactly right. Amen. And the reason is because we don't really have a plan. We really don't have an agenda. It's just kind of one that's just as it comes, we'll adapt to it. As it comes, we'll work into it, and it'll just happen. It'll just kind of play itself out. And so this just simply means that we're doing something without a plan, or by using our own judgment or experience, without necessarily consulting in others. But I just want to debunk the thought that would ever be what God would desire us to do. I understand that there are times and there are life in our lives spiritually when we really do feel like we are flying by the seat of our pants. Or skirts, whatever you want to say. But nevertheless, there may not be specific detail in a lot of areas, but you know that there is the one area, and there's all kinds of things that we could interject into this. The Bible says, having done all to stand, just to stand, therefore. Sometimes there's nothing to do but to stand. And in the Old Testament, he was told, he said, stand still and see the salvation of God. That's not necessarily our chemical makeup. That's not necessarily what we like to do, because when we stand still, we don't feel like anything is being accomplished. But yet there are times when God would just have us to stand still, and there are times that God would have us to be silent. Amen. And there are times that God would just say, you know what, having done all to stand, just simply stand therefore. But in the big scheme of things, in the mind of things, amen, even God had an agenda and a plan, for the Bible says and teaches us that he was the plan. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The book of Revelations tells us that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He had a plan that was set about. I don't believe that Adam's sin caught him by surprise. Amen. But he had a plan ready to be set in motion when things began to play out. When things began to roll. Amen. There was a plan that was going to be put into action. And the Bible says in Galatians that when the fullness of time was come, the plan was put into action. And God, amen, Paul told Timothy, was manifest in the flesh, and the angel declared his name to be Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the plan. Praise God. And we could get into that, but we are encouraged, amen, to set forth plans even in our lives. We are given the example in Luke when Jesus was speaking, and he said, for which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and behold, it begins to mock him, saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish it because he did not have a plan. He may have had a plan of how that he was going to build it, but he didn't have a plan of how he was going to pay for the building. Praise God. And a half a plan is not really what we are looking for. Jesus went on to say, or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, amen, he's going to put a plan together while the other is yet a great way off, and he's going to send an ambassador and desireth the conditions of peace. Amen. We are encouraged to make plans. Praise God, to have some plans in our life. And this is exactly what Nehemiah had in his life after that he had heard that the walls had been broken down, and it bothered him. And then just on his day-to-day dealings and work, he went unto the king, and the king looked at him and considered him and said, your countenance, you are you you're not sick. And this thing upset Nehemiah. And so he went before the king, and the king said, "For what do you make a request?" And so the Bible teaches us that Nehemiah prayed to the God of heaven. Amen. Can you just imagine him as he was sitting there? "All right, God, I need you to direct my thoughts. I need you to help me put all of this together. I've got a plan, and I need it, Lord, to come out of my mouth and make it palatable to the king, that he would help me to be able to give me to do everything that I need to do." And so here goes nothing. And so he began to consult with the king, and he said, "Look, king, if it please you, and if thy servant have found favor in your sight, that you would send me unto Judah," there's the beginning of the plan, "and unto my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." And the king said unto me, "Well, how long are you going to be gone on this journey? And when are you going to return?" And Nehemiah said, "Well, I don't really know. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants right now." No, that's not what he said. Amen. That's not what he said. Amen. When are you? "And so it pleased the king to send me." And he said, "I set him a time." And I said unto the king, "Look, this is how I'm going to be able to accomplish my plan. If I'm going to be back here on this date, then there's some other things that's got to happen, amen, on this date that's going to be able to help me to meet my deadline for this day." And he said, "If it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah." You understand, king, I've already thought about this. And I know that if I go on my own accord, that there's going to be resistance along the way. And either the governors are going to resist me and want to see my papers, my credentials and such, or there's going to be adversaries along the way that are going to afflict me or try to cause me problems, and they're going to hinder my going to Judah. And so if you'll just go ahead and write a letter, we can get beyond all of this. And if you'll write the letter, then I can give it unto the governors, and they can escort me through the land, through the bad lands, and help me to be able to get to where I need to be. And he said, "And then also I need another letter. And if you would just write that letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, and that he would give me the timber beams that I need to make the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the walls of the city and the house that I shall enter into." And because that he had a plan, and because that he had an agenda, amen, the king nodded his head and said, "All right, I'm going to write you the letter. I'm going to write a letter to the governor. I'm going to write a letter to Asaph, and I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to send you forth, and I believe in your plan." And so in the process of believing with your plan, I'm going to give you some men to go with you along the ways. And so the story continues on, and Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, and he was there for 3 days, and he arose in the night. And he said, I and some of the men that were with me neither told I any other man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, and neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode on. And I went out into the night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. What is Nehemiah saying? He said, "I had a mental image of everything in my mind, and so I'm mentally prepared to replace some beams and to do this, and I am mentally set to take some trees and some stones, and I want to see how many stones that I've got to be able to work with, and what else that I'm going to have to go get from somewhere else and bring them over here. I want to see, not just envision, not just dream or think about it, imagine it. I want to see exactly what I've got to work with, and if I need to change my plan, if I need to adapt, amen, to the circumstances that are there, I want to be able to adapt now before that." He's a good foreman, I'll just tell you that. Amen. Anybody that can look ahead and see the end from the beginning, amen, and see how that they're going to get there, amen, can be worth their salt. And so this was Nehemiah. He was looking at things and he was saying, all right, do I have the material to keep everybody busy? No, I'm going to need some more stones. And so I've got to project men to go over there and get. I need some timber, and how much am I going to need? And he makes an estimate and said, I'm going to send over to Asaph. I need this many timbers and stuff. And so he made all of this, and he set that he tightened down this plan, and he saw what was consumed with fire and what he was able to get. And he went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. And I went up into the night by the brook, and I viewed the wall, and I turned back and entered into the gate of the valley, and so I returned. Man, he was able to look at it and think to himself, all right, here's what I've got, and here's my time frame. I've got 4 miles of wall to build, and I've got 10 gates to rebuild. And so if I'm going to do it in a certain amount of time, then this is what I've got to be able to do. He began to divvy out the men according to their places. And he put this tribe and these men over here and this one over here. And he said, look, he said, this is how that we're going to do it. I just want you to build from this point until this point. And you're going to build from this point to this point. And at some point in time, you're going to meet each other in the middle and just keep building until you do. And he had everything covered. And the Bible names 45 different men that were with him. Amen. Not necessarily named, but unnamed persons who performed the task of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And so what I've come today to tell you is that Nehemiah was extremely focused. He had counted the cost, and he had all that he needed to accomplish the task, and he was ready to begin the mission. And when he woke up on day one, amen, he woke up probably with his boots on or his boots close by. Amen. He woke up, and as he walked out, he could already see this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And he began to put people in place, and things began to happen. And he worked and he worked and he worked because that he had a plan. These, and they looked at him, they said, amen, that they were able to accomplish this within a few weeks. But that would have never been so. They would have never accomplished anything if they were just flying by the seat of their pants. Amen. They would have never been able to do anything if they wouldn't have had a plan. And then with the plan, they had to stay focused. Praise God. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the plan of God. And that plan was the church. Amen. The Bible said that the church is built upon the rock. Amen. That the builders rejected. We are built upon the apostles' doctrine. Amen. This is the stone that was set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner. And Peter even would say later that we are lively stones built up into a spiritual house. Amen. I thank God I'm not just a part of the plan. I am a part of the church. Amen. I am a representative of the church. I'm in the church, and I've got a plan. My plan is I plan on being saved, and I don't plan on being deterred anyway. But the only way that that's got to happen is I got to stay focused. How am I going to make it? I'm going to have to pray. How am I going to make it? I'm going to have to worship. How am I going to make it? I've got to stay in the word. How am I going to make it? I've got to stay focused, because there is an enemy that's trying to distract me. There are things along the way. There are life circumstances, amen, that are going to try to distract me. But I've got to stay, amen, with my hand in the hand of the master. I got to keep my eyes upon him. I'm not looking to the left. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking behind me. Don't let the things that are below you pull you down. Don't let the things that are behind you trip you up. You just got to keep on keeping on. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, amen, my Bible said that the Spirit of God
God is going to raise up a standard against it. Is the enemy going to fight? Yes, he's going to fight. But am I going to fight back? Yes, that's part of the plan. Am I going to win? The Bible said that I'm going to be more than a conqueror through Christ. I am persuaded. I've got an agenda. I've got a city I'm looking for. I've got a plan I'm trying to make. I've got a Savior that I want to see. I want to be saved.
Let's lift up the Lord and praise His name today. Praise God. For over 100 years, those walls had been broken down. The gates had been burned. For 100 years plus, people could walk through and kick the ashes and rub their feet upon the burnt timbers of the gates. For over 100 years, amen, it was, say it maybe like this, a tourist attraction, for the lack of better words. People could just walk by and look. And for over 100 years, the enemy never was upset with broken down walls. You don't hear the name Sanballat. You don't hear the name Tobiah. You don't hear the name Geshem until somebody decided to start building the walls. The enemy wasn't worried about burned down walls. The enemy wasn't worried about burnt down and broken gates. He wasn't concerned about all of that. He only got concerned when somebody else was concerned about fixing some things. That's when he got concerned. Hey man, the devil wasn't worried about you when you were drinking alcohol. The devil wasn't worried about you when you were doing drugs. The devil wasn't worried about you when you were smoking cigarettes. The devil wasn't worried about you when you was involved in perversion. The devil wasn't worried about you when you were honky-tonking and outdoing your thing in the world. But as soon as you decided that you was going to come to church, as soon as you made a decision, you know what, I think I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, all of a sudden the devil got interested in you. Amen. All of a sudden the devil wanted to be your friend. Amen. Can I just say this and kick the devil in the teeth? I find it so unique and ironic that when a person backslides out of the house of God, the first thing they do is hook up with all the other backsliders that couldn't stay in the house of God. They couldn't stand each other in the church. But when they get out there, they're united for a cause. That's not the way that I'm going to be. Amen. I tell you, when there's resistance, that means I must be doing something right. Amen. You say, I don't feel like I'm going very fast. You may not be going very fast. You may be standing still to see the salvation of God. But if you're feeling resistance, amen, then you've got an adversary that's trying to tear you down, trying to pull you down, trying to hinder you. Just keep standing. Just keep standing. Just keep fighting. Just keep walking. Walk by faith. Just keep doing what God would have you to do. Praise God. Praise God. And so Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know what that word prevail means? Well, it can mean a whole lot of things. But just in general, it just means it's not going to be victorious in resisting it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, doing a little looking into this, this does not insinuate that this is the church and that there's a force field built around the church and that hell can't break through. That's not what it means. In reality, what it means, said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
The church is going to do exactly what it wants to do, and the gates of hell cannot resist it, cannot withstand it. It literally means that the church would be able to walk right in and through the gates of hell and pull the sinners out. And the Bible said, Jude said, some save with fear, others save from the fire. From the fire. Amen. And those that seem like they're so invested and so far into hell, the church is going to be able to walk in and to pull them out. Say, you're coming with me. I know that you can't make them live for God. I know that you can't make them serve God. But I want you to know, you can go into their place when it looks like that they're on the bottom. And David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. And Jesus said, you're going to be able to go. Why? Because you're a part of the church. Amen. They may be in dust. They may be hooked on cocaine. They may be stoned out of their minds. But you're going to have the ability to make a difference in their life. When they look at you in the eye and say, I have no hope, you can look at them and say, you do have hope. When they look at you and say, I'll never make it, you can look at them and say, you can make it. You know how I can tell you that you can make it? Because I made it. I came through. Amen. The Bible says such were some of you, but God had a plan. God didn't leave you in your sorrow. God didn't leave you in your misery. God didn't leave you hopeless, but he had a plan, and he was super focused upon that, and he came down, and the devil tried to distract him, but he refused to be distracted, and he made his way all the way to Calvary's cross. That was the plan, and the plan included me, and the plan included you, and I'm so thankful that the God of heaven manifest in flesh stayed focused upon the agenda. One more thing and we're done. A church that does not have a plan, the enemy is not so worried about them. Because the enemy knows in some point in time they'll waste away. Why? They have no plan. They have no plan. And so the enemy can put just enough pressure on the outside. I mean, that's what he did, right? If a fox goes up against that wall, it'll fall down. And so the church has got to have a plan. Praise God. Praise God. And the plan is revival. The plan is harvest. Amen. He said, look unto the fields, for they are white unto harvest. You know what? Harvest never going to get gleaned. The harvest is never going to get reaped. Amen. If we're looking around at everything else, we're distracted by all the world's distractions and all the other things. We got to stay focused. We got to stay focused. There's a harvest that's out there. And just like that old devil, he's not so concerned about the church as long as the select few are just in there, just singing between themselves, worshiping and praising among themselves. But nobody's ever concerned about the outside. Nobody's concerned about the broken down walls. Nobody's concerned about the broken down city. Nobody's concerned about the condition of the world. And this world is completely broken down. We are watching it on a day by day basis. Amen. It looks like a stick of dynamite with the fuse just flapping in the wind. Amen. As it's lit, and you can hear the sparks, and you just wonder when it's going to explode, and you don't know if it's going to be the Democrats, the Republicans, or America. Amen. And you've got all this stuff going on, and everybody's biting their fingernails, and everybody's wondering what's going on. Some people are praising it. Other people are condemning it. All of these other things are going. It's a broken down, messed up world. It needs help. It needs a plan. It needs a plan. And there's got to be a plan. And so the church has got to be focused. Amen. I'm not looking necessarily for a 10-step plan. Amen. For all of these. But there is a plan. And the plan is evangelism. The plan is getting out into the highways, into the byways, and compelling the lost to come. Amen. The plan is getting from house to house. Amen. And compelling them to come. The book of Acts started in a house. Amen. The book of Acts ended in a house. Amen. Somewhere or another, there's got to be a house involved. And that house just isn't only the house of God. That house is my house. That house is your house. That house, amen, that God gave us, that we can invite somebody into. Amen. Some sinner that doesn't know God, that we're trying to create a relationship with, and got a dinner for them, got this for them, got that for them. There's a mentality that's got to, amen, that's got to change. There's a mentality that's got to be a part of this. Amen. Why? There's a plan. There's a plan. There's a plan. And there's got to be focus. And you can't be distracted from that. You've got neighbors that are dying lost. You've got friends that are dying lost. You've got loved ones that are dying lost. You've got to stay focused on the plan. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have anybody here, amen, that wants to see more than what we currently have? Amen. Anybody here that wants to see this assembly filled up? Anybody here that's ready to see another building filled up? Anybody here that says, oh, I believe that we can have a great church? It's got to be more than just saying. We've got to be able to go. We've got to be able to focus. We've got to be able to reach. We've got to be able to win. We've got to be able to teach. We've got to do what we've got to do to get, amen, the plan activated. Oh, let's stand and love the Lord here today. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Does anybody want to win somebody for the Lord?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, Lord.
Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? Are you focused? Or are you just with your hands in your pocket saying, well, I hope that it happens. I hope that happens. Who does your plan include? who does your plan include? If you don't have names involved in that, then your plan is too broad. Start bringing it down. And if you don't have names to put, then start saying, God, put some names on my mind. Put some names upon my heart. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to stand around with your hands in your pockets sitting here meditating and humming, waiting for God to put a name upon your mind while the whole world walks up and down and past you, back and forth, all over the place. Every time you go to the grocery store, my Lord, I cannot go into Dillon's without Chris introducing me to everybody. I got an agenda. I got stuff I got to get. I got to get back to the house. Amen. Chris is talking to me while I'm walking away. I'm not trying to be rude, Chris. Chris is talking to everybody. You know he does the same thing with you. There you are walking. He's just telling everybody, there goes my pastor right there. I walk up. I'm getting in line, and there's Chris, and he's saying, hey, this lady right here, she's got a prayer request. That lady is sitting here like, Chris is like, I'm just telling you right now, here's the word, here's the paper right here. She says she wants us to pray for her husband or pray for her mom or all this and stuff. This lady right here, she needs us to pray for her because she's going to the hospital. She's going to be in the hospital because she's got to have surgery and stuff. Absolutely, we're going to pray for her. Amen, there's a plan! There's a plan, there's a plan, there's a plan. You got to have a plan. Everybody that you, amen, when you go to check out, there's a prime opportunity. Just listen, 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 listen. And I am the world's worst. You know why? Because I'm too focused on something else. I'm in and out, in and out. But you know, sometimes we just got to listen. And as we listen, something comes up. Amen. And God opens up a door of utterance that we can say. You know, they're saying that they're sick, they're not feeling good, or they're having a bad day or whatever. Amen. You know what? They wear their name tags most of the time right there on their shirts or their whatever that is. Vest, apron, whatever that is. They name it. Call them by name. Say, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God would help your day. And then when you go back to the store, you may look and that line may be two people longer than this line over here. But I got something I want to say to this one. Why? I've got a plan. I'm not flying by the seat of my pants. I got a plan. I got a plan. And so I just stand in line and wait. Hey, sir, you know, I can catch you over here. I'm good right here. You can go ahead. Get over there. I got a plan. Well, how are you doing today? Is your day better? How are you feeling today? Well, I prayed for you the other day. How is your kids doing? They were sick. How are they doing? Hey, amen. There's a plan. You got to work on it. Amen. Rome wasn't built in a day, or whatever they call that. Was it Rome? That was the city that they used. Rome. Rome wasn't built in a day. Amen. You know what? I built a huge, massive building one time. Massive, massive. 15 floors, 15 stories. And you know what? They bricked the entire thing. The entire thing. They bricked it. You know how big those bricks are? About this big. Whoa, that was a whole lot of bricks. But you know how they bricked it? One brick at a time. One brick at a time. And one day, somebody put the last brick on it. It was done. That's how we've got to be about revival. Amen. And I need some people to get a vision. I need some people to get a burden. And it's got to be more than a burden, because a burden comes and goes. You don't have to have a burden to win souls. That's what we're told to do. We are told to be ambassadors. We are told to go into the highways, into the byways. You don't have to say, well, I'm just waiting for God to give me a burden. Honey, you should already have a burden. But you're going to wake up some days and the burden's not going to be there, but we still got to do it. We still got to do it. We still got to do it. Amen. I'll just tell you right now, I got some big, huge, harebrained idea going on in my mind. Amen. And I'm like Nehemiah. I'm contemplating everything. I'm weighing it all out. I'm putting stuff together. Amen. Working here and working there and stuff. And it's not going to be very long, very much longer. And I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to say, look, here's the plan. Here's the plan. This is what we're going to do. And there may be some people that critique us and stuff like that. Fine. That's fine. I don't care. Amen. If it works, it works. And then who cares what they say? Amen. Why? Because I got to have revival. I got to have revival. I got to have revival. Is that your feeling? Is that your heartbeat too as well? Come on, friend. Come on, friend. You've got lost loved ones that are on their way to hell if somebody doesn't intervene. What are you going to do about it? Amen. Are you going to turn a blinded eye? Are you going to cover your eyes and say, well, I hope that one of these days they get it? Are you going to say, well, I hope that one of these days they ask? Amen. Are you going to say, God, I need a door of utterance to be open? That's part of the plan. God, and if you'll give me just a little opening, I'm going to kick the door wide open and I'm going to begin to talk to them. God, help me, oh Lord Jesus. Oh God, I've got time for everything else. Lord, I must have time to teach a home Bible study. God, I've got time for this. I've got time for that. Then I've got time to be a witness. I've got time to do something. Somebody's got to get a plan. Somebody's got to get a vision. Somebody's got to do the walls broken down. Do they bother you? Amen. Is the broken down city, the broken down wall, the broken down gates? Amen. Does it bother anybody? Amen. It's got to get to, amen, that when I go to bed, I'm envisioning broken down walls. When I wake up, amen, I'm seeing broken down gates. As I'm going through the day, amen, I'm seeing broken down people. Amen. I've got their answer. I've got what it takes. Oh, help us to step forward. Help us to step out. Help us to put the plan into action. Help us to see something. Help us to do something. Oh, God, we've got to be focused. We cannot be flying by the seat of our pants. We cannot just be hoping, amen, in desperation that maybe one day that it'll change. Maybe something, sometime or another will happen. There's got to be a plan, and then I've got to
to stay focused. Work is going to try to distract me. Obstacles are going to try to distract me. Amen. Circumstances are going to try to distract me. Financial obligations are going to try to distract me. Amen. If I could sum it all up in just a few words, I would say the devil is going to try to distract me. However that he can, he's going to try to distract me. I've got a job to do. I've got a job to do. I've got a plan to carry out. I've got a plan to fulfill. I've got to stay focused. Hallelujah. Would you pray tonight? Would you pray tonight? Would you lift up your voice? Come on, I want you to invest yourself into it. Amen. I want you to say, God, I want to be a part of this plan. Where is it? What am I to do? Oh, God, I don't want to be just a bystander on the plan. I want to be involved in this plan, God. God, interject me. Put me into it. Oh, God, give me some more people to witness to. Amen. Give me more people to talk to, God. Lord, don't let me just be comfortable sitting around and letting time pass by. Oh, God, standing around saying, well, I'm ready if something happens. God, I want to be a part of your plan. I want to be focused. 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 Every day that I go to work, how many hundreds of people do I pass that are on their way to hell? Oh, God, something's got to bother me. These broken down walls have got to bother me. Broken down gates have got to bother me. Messed up people have got to bother me. Messed up lives need to bother me. Oh, God, help us today, Lord.